Welcome to the Positive Disciple Podcast, where we interact and learn how to be and make disciples in our normal everyday rhythm of life by obeying Jesus and practicing the positive habits that he modeled and taught. Listen, learn, and practice.
Hey, I'm back again as your host on Positive Disciple. My name is Mark Kolo, and it's such a pleasure and a privilege to be bringing you these discussions or these conversations as we continue to explore what it means to be a disciple who makes disciples. And today, I have a guest on the show who will be introducing herself and telling us a little bit about her background and how God is leading her and to change the world through disciple making. So, welcome to the episode of Positive Disciple. Tell us about yourself, your name, and a little bit about your history.
Thank you, sir, for having me. Well, my name is Judith Ngasa. This journey of discipleship started 2 years ago, but prior to that, I was a born-again Christian. I got saved in high school. My Christian life in high school was a normal Christian life, you know, go to see you, pray, you know, the normal religion, yeah? Let's say it was just more of religion.
Okay.
Yeah. But it came to a time in my life where I desired more because I felt there was more and okay. There was something missing in my life. Yeah. Though I was a Christian, saved, I felt that there was something missing. There was something more to Christianity than what I was experiencing in my life by then.
Yeah.
So my turnaround came in my second year in university when I got an opportunity to be discipled there. And through that, I was able to learn. And the yearning of my heart was fulfilled, yeah? Because I came to know what discipleship is. I was exposed to the needs of other people. Because prior to that, for me, Christianity was all about getting saved, be a good person, and then go to heaven, you know? It was all about self-preservation.
Yeah, that's the typical narrative. Many people just think, just say the prayer, join a church, and live a good Christian life.
Yeah, and then go to heaven.
And then go to heaven. That's the ultimate reward, but that's very far from what the Bible teaches, isn't it?
Yes.
Tell me about, just before then, you had mentioned that there was a cry in your heart. In fact, there was this day where you went on your knees and you were just crying out to God, asking, is this all there is to it? Mm-hmm. And then you got invited to a certain meeting. The reason why I'm asking that is because perhaps there could be somebody listening to this whose heart is also yearning for something deeper, something more meaningful, something more significant than just, you know, participating in religious activities, the routine of church attendance without depth and growth. Yes, how did that happen for you?
So for me, prior to that, I remember there was a day I really cried to God. In my room, I was on the floor crying and weeping because I felt there's something missing in my life. And I wanted God just to, you know, fill that void that I had. So I wept and I cried a lot. And I know God answered me that day because during that same week, I was able to go to the CU of my school. I didn't normally go for it because I felt it was like the normal
religious
stuff that goes on.
The routine.
So, the routine stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was tired with that. But that day, I would say God was leading me to that place.
Okay.
So I went to the CU. And good thing you are there and you are preaching about something. You are preaching about missions and all that. Mm-hmm. So in my heart, I felt this is different. I have never had this, not even in my church. It was different, and I felt this is what I was looking for.
Wow.
Yeah, and since that day is when, I really got involved in discipleship. I was discipled myself through that, and also got to learn about missions, you know.
Wow.
So it was no longer about me anymore, but I was exposed to the needs of other people.
Amazing.
You know, you see the internal domination that awaits these people who have not yet known Christ, and you have the ability to share the gospel with them. It's not about your self-preservation. It's not about you going to heaven alone, but you have the opportunity to bring a multitude of people mm-hmm. with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a compelling reason to follow Jesus, isn't
it?
Because he empowers you. Jesus says, if you follow me, that's an invitation to being his disciple. He says, I will make you. That's the equipping and the training now, a fisher of men. But many people get saved. They sit in church. Their lives don't bear fruit. They are not able to help other people become followers of Jesus. So year in, year out, they attend meetings, programs, seminars, workshops, conferences, conventions. But at the end, the number of Christians isn't growing. The percentage has remained stuck because statistics have shown that only 4 to 5% of Christians in their entire lifetime will ever have the pleasure of leading somebody to Christ. That means about 95 to 96% of people in the church just never are able to share their faith and lead others to faith in Christ. So it's interesting that you mentioned that that was one of the things that caught your attention. Mm-hmm. Learning that there is potential in you to not just be a follower of Jesus, an obedient disciple, but also able to be used by him to make other people become disciples.
Yeah. So also I would like to add, mm-hmm. a lot of young people think that you have to be a pastor, you have to be a preacher, you have to have a pulpit in order for you to reach out to people.
Yeah.
But no, God can use any situation, any platform that he has given you to preach the gospel to the unreached.
Yeah.
Even as a student, you can use you being a student to reach out to your fellow students.
Mm.
Yeah, so you don't need necessarily to be a preacher in order for you to preach the gospel.
Wow.
Yeah, because everybody is called out to share the gospel.
Everybody is called to share the gospel.
Yeah.
I like that, Judith. So it's not just pastors, evangelists, missionaries, bishops. It's ordinary Christians who have decided to be committed to Jesus. And that's not just attending programs. It's talking about a personal commitment to the person and purpose of Jesus. Those kinds of people are also equipped to go out there and use their platforms to share the gospel.
Mm.
Amazing. Now, I would like to shift a little bit into your campus. And for the purposes of maybe security, we would not mention the particular university you attended because there are a few sensitive issues involved. But you have just recently cleared school. How long ago? When did you clear?
A month ago. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's good. You've completed at least 4 years of study in that university.
Okay.
But tell us about the diversity and the spiritual atmosphere. First of all, let's start with the diversity. How diverse is the student population of your university?
Our university, I'll say it's an international university, but it has over 72 nationalities represented from all over the world.
72 nationalities,
yes.
Different countries in one location.
Yes. So we have Indians, we have people from all over the world with different beliefs, different cultural backgrounds.
Mm.
So the diversity is one of the things that attracts many people to it. Because you get to enjoy that, you get to experience things, learn more things from different cultures, from different people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was one of the reasons why it's very attractive to young people.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's good because, you know, when you are in an environment where you get to interact with people from 72 different countries around the world, virtually every continent, it kind of prepares you for a global outlook.
Yeah.
It gives you a taste of what living in a cross-cultural setting can portend.
Yeah.
However, because people have come from all over the world to this particular campus, they've brought with them, like you said, their own beliefs, their cultural preferences, their ideologies, and so on and so forth. What does that look like on your campus in terms of the diversity of beliefs? What are some of the maybe religious practices or cultural systems that are found on the school where you went to?
Okay, so first of all, during orientation, you are told that the school is a secular school. So a lot of people won't wouldn't know that there are Christians on campus or there are Christian Union on campus, because during your first year, already conditioned that, yeah, this school has nothing to do with religion. So you're able to practice whichever religion that you have. You have that freedom. So you have atheists, you have different people with different beliefs, So as a Christian, it's not even possible to spot a Christian in school, because a student may come out, may join school as a Christian, but you won't know it because they will be observed in that system, where you say this is a secular school. So you won't be able to express your beliefs as a Christian.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is very toxic, and Christianity, I would say, it's also very challenging to people. A lot of Christians, because they are the minority in that institution. So it's very difficult for them to share their gospel to these diverse people, diverse views. And a lot of them are not equipped to do that.
Wow. I remember coming to your campus and just being amazed. One of the things that I observed is the fact that the influence of many different worldviews has caught on even with the many young Kenyans that are there. So they are abandoning some. I've actually had conversations with several young people on your campus who were raised in Christian families, but are openly now either atheists or agnostics, or they are secular humanists, and they tell me that, as in they are not hiding their new belief. And I remember talking to one young man one time, and I said, tell me about your past. And he says he's actually the son of a pastor, that his father is still a pastor, but right now he's an atheist openly, and he doesn't believe in the existence of God anymore. Is that a common trend on your campus?
Yeah, it is, because first of all, you will want to fit in.
Yes.
So even if you are Christian, you want to fit in the crowd, because I think peer pressure also plays a role.
Mm.
So you will want to hide your beliefs and the values that you are raising as a Christian or from a Christian home. Mm. So I think that is one peer pressure. People want to fit in. And because we don't have that environment that encourages us as Christians to share our faith, also that plays another factor to hindering the spreading of the gospel among us, the people in our campus.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, amazing. So we're talking about an environment that is hostile to the gospel already.
Yeah.
So people who go into your campus and many other campuses without being discipled, what chances do they stand of coming out alive, so to say, spiritually alive, in a hostile environment that has diversities of beliefs, and you've not been prepared and spiritually tuned and equipped to stand, first of all, for yourself? We're not even talking about reaching others yet.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances?
Well, to be honest with you, sir, I don't think you stand a chance in such an environment. If you're not trained to operate or to live in such an environment, you won't stand any chance. So training or being discipleship prior to joining, it's very important, because with that you'll have the necessary tools or the necessary strategies that you will navigate through that environment.
Wow. Yeah. So that brings to fore the priority of disciple making. Yeah. Discipling young people right from high school, right from when they are having their, gap year, or when they are ex-candidates, preparing them for such a hostile environment.
Yeah.
So sending young people into universities who have not been thoroughly discipled. And I'm not talking about discipleship like a program or a class. I'm talking about life-on-life discipleship, where people are equipped, they are challenged to live their faith radically for Christ, not burying it or being ashamed of the name of Christ or of the gospel. If that is not done, then we're experiencing a high rate of attrition, people who are living the faith once they enter the university setting. That is very key for us to know. Very important to equip young people for such an environment. Now, finally, Judith, is there anything you'd like to share with us in terms of how we, young people, can be involved in, first of all, become obedient disciples of Jesus, the difference that that makes as opposed to just getting saved and attending church meetings. And then finally, how is there a place for young people to become radical disciple makers as well?
Yes, there is. Then, the only thing that you need is to have a willing heart.
Okay.
And once you have that, if you are yielded, a yielded vessel, then you can be used in any environment. So if you yield yourself and you get discipled, you know, you are not going there by your own strength in such an environment as my school. You're not going there by your own strength, but you have somebody greater living in you who will help you navigate in such a dark environment.
Wow.
So discipleship in any, it's the key. It's a key to bring change in our universities. It's a key, because these guys in the uni are the same people who are going out to be ministers,
yes.
who are going out to be people in power and
authority.
Yes. Yeah. And if you release such people to the world, so it will be dangerous because they will be making decisions which will be bad for the people.
Yeah.
But if we are able to get up people who have been discipled, who have the kingdom mind, then some of the problems that you are facing right now will be over. And all of this can be achieved only through discipleship.
Wow, which is why Jesus says, make disciples.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus didn't leave us with too many things to do. He just simply said, go make disciples of all nations. And the beauty about the campus we've just described is that now all nations have come to be within that particular location. I remember a particular day I was coming to your campus, and I heard the Lord speak to me very clearly. He says, because I was just approaching the gate, when I heard him say, you are approaching the most diverse community in all of Kenya. And I was wondering, where is that? He said, this particular campus. That's why I came and I began to ask questions. How many countries are represented here? 72. Now, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. The nations are literally gathered on our doorstep. But if we do not disciple them while they are here, many of them will go back to their countries. They've spent 4 years, maybe five, in a Christian-dominated country, but they never heard the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
That would be sad. So the ministry of reaching out to international students, foreigners that are living around us, welcoming them and showing them the life and love of Christ, and then entering into a discipling process with them until they discover Jesus and believe in him. You can never tell how far such a person can go in impacting their own country. Many of these young people have come from countries that are closed to the gospel, like the Middle East, China. Am I right? You have Chinese students on your campus.
Yes, we do.
You have students from the Middle East, North Africa, and even the atheistic countries that are largely atheistic, you know, Western Europe and the rest of them. Imagine if they are discipled while here, they can be the catalyst for the gospel back in their home countries.
Yeah, so we have the nations in one place.
We have the nations in one place. You don't need a visa to go anymore. They are right here.
Yeah.
Okay, so that shows the great opportunity that is on our doorsteps to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples among all nations. Thank you so much, Judith, for being part of this episode of Positive Disciple. And we hope we can have you back again some other time so you can share with us what God is doing through your life in discipling other young people outside of campus.
Okay.
Congratulations once again for finishing your school.
Thank you. God will lead
you on forward. To all our listeners, thank you for being part of the show today. And I look forward to connecting with you again on the next episode of Positive Disciple.
We hope you have been equipped in positive discipleship. Stay tuned for our next podcast and be sure to leave us a comment on what you are learning and doing to follow Jesus and make disciples wherever you are.